He's faithful. It won't take but a few moments. It's going to go somewhere totally different, but I'm not limited to one text. I've got the authority to preach it all. I'm not limited to one text. I can preach it all whenever he wants me to preach it. Because he's gave it to me and he's gave it to you. And I want to take a few moments to... I've been battling this one. I wasn't going to preach it this morning. I was going to preach, man, we need to let her blow. That was going to be the title of my sermon, we need to let her blow. Talking about the Holy Spirit, let him blow through this place, and he just done that. I want to preach on, have you ever questioned God? That's where I've been, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Have you ever, I pray to God I don't get wide open, wound up. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you, Rod Gillen. Talk to you. I want to talk to you, Megan. I want to talk to you, Melinda. Talk to you. And everybody else. But have you ever questioned God? You say, well, preacher, I was told you ain't supposed to question God. That person that told you not to question God, they question God. It's not a person in this room ain't questioning God. Not a person. Whoo, glory. Matthew chapter number 11, just for a few moments. Have you ever questioned God? Why? Why me? Why? Why do I have to go through this? Why? And a self-righteous preacher say, why not you? I've used that before. That don't help a thing. Have you ever questioned God? Say, God, why? Why, Lord? Matthew chapter number 11. I just want to read this to you. 11, 1 through 6. I ask you to stand. I know you've been up on your feet all day. But Matthew 11, let's go 1 through 6. Boy, God is so good. Man. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. Can I get amen? The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in of me. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this day. I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit that has passed through this place. And I thank you that he's still here, that he's still moving on hearts. Lord, right now, somebody may not have asked you for anything because they think they're not supposed to talk to you. They're not supposed to question you or ask you questions. Lord, I come right now sincere as I can be. Lord, there's days I don't know why and I still ask you and you still answer. Lord, you don't owe me an answer, but you sure do answer me and I thank you for that. Lord, I come not tonight, today, bragging or boastful about anything. I just come believing that you're the creator, that you can do anything, any place, anytime, anywhere. Lord, if you didn't want me to believe that way, you should have never started in my life. Lord, how you pulled me out of a devil's hell and set my feet on higher ground. Lord, how you reached down there in Tupelo when I coded on the table. And Lord God, you've saved my life, and I thank you for that. Lord, if you didn't want me to brag, you shouldn't have saved me. Lord, you saved me, and I'm going to brag on you, and I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to praise your holy name, and I'm going to tell people like Rod Gillen that help is on the way, that it ain't over. Lord God, this is just the beginning. And Lord God, I don't know why all the answers, I don't have all the answers, I don't have all the details, but I do know this, that you're on the throne. And Lord God, there's nothing slipped by you or slipped through you. Lord God, you know everything's going on, and I'm asking you today to answer prayers. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Have you ever questioned God? I've heard many folks say that we're not supposed to question God. If we all be honest, we have in times in our lives that we don't understand and we ask God why. As we just read, John the Baptist questioned if Jesus was the one to come or should he look for another. I'm talking about John, the one who leaped in his mother's womb by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the forerunner for Jesus, the one who preached repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm talking about the one who baptized Jesus. I'm talking about the one who heard God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm talking about the one that saw the Holy Ghost descending like a dove at Jesus' baptism. I'm talking about the one that said in John chapter number 1 in verse number 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. But now, I'm talking about the one that's seen Jesus do all kind of works, all kind of miracles in his life, do all kind of things, the forerunner for Jesus Christ. And now, but now John is questioning. Now John is questioning Jesus. And I want to ask you a simple question, and I want to answer it by the text today. What makes a believer question God? What makes a man of God? What makes a woman of God question God? I say to you the same thing that made John question makes us question. We question God when we get down and out. When we get down and out in doom and gloom, we question God. John is down in verse number 2, the Bible says, now when John had heard in the prison, he said, preacher, how do you know he's down? If you ever been to jail or ever been to prison, that's not an upper, that's a downer. John is in prison, he's physically down because he has stood against Herodias. And he has told Herodias that her marriage with Herod Antipas was unlawful and it was not right and it was wrong. And you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to kill John. And now John is put in prison and now John is down. He's down and out, doom and gloom, and he wants to know if Jesus is real. His situation that surrounded him looked helpless. It looked doom and gloom. If you've seen John there and he was in prison, John the Baptist, you'd say he's doom and gloom. He knows he's fixing to get his head cut off. He knows he's fixing to die. And I want to say now he's questioning God. I want to say to you that his situation that surrounded him was helpless. The environment that existed around him was helpless. Down because he can't see what God's fixing to do. He can't see how God is moving in our situation. All he knows is that he's down. And just like John, every believer has their ups and downs in life. You'll be on the mountaintop today and you walk out of this place and you be in the valley. You walk out of the mountaintop after we've prayed over you, Rod, and you go listen to your doctor and it won't be long. You'll be down in the valley of despair. Can I say to you this afternoon, this morning, that I thank God for doctors. I thank God for what they do. I thank God for using doctors to heal. I thank God for medicine. I thank God for what doctors do. I thank God for everywhere he uses doctors. But you listen to me this morning and you listen to me good. There is still a physician in heaven. His name is God Almighty. There is still a physician in heaven that can heal. There is still a physician in heaven that can reach down and heal a man's body, heal a man's soul, heal a man's spirit that he can heal. And you say, preacher, do you believe that? I sure do. I believe that even though I get down and out sometimes, I still have a God on the throne. Can I get an amen? And I want you to know this morning that John, he was down and out. It said, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and he sent them to where Jesus was. And he asked them a question, is this the Son of God? Is this the one that we should look for? I say to you that when you get down and out and you start questioning God, number one, it's because that you are down. But number two, when you get down, you get to doubting. You never doubt on the mountaintops. You only doubt when you're in the valleys of despair and you're on the bottom and you don't know where to go and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn. And everywhere you turn, it's doom and gloom. And people are giving you bad reports and giving you bad news and they're giving you bad outcomes. Friends, can I say to you that we got a God in heaven? You look at me right now and you act like that you don't serve that God right now. What's going on in this place? You listen to me, friends. I will always believe that we got a healing God. Can I get an amen? I'll always believe that we got a God that can. We got a God that can heal. We got a God that can save. We got a God that can reach down and heal what's going on. Man, there's men all in this room and women that God has healed physically, that God has touched physically in their life. You say, preacher, I don't believe in that hogwash. I want you to know it's not hogwash. It's straight from heaven. Can I get an amen? I say that John is doubting here in his life. He's not pouting. He's just doubting. There's difference in pouting and doubting. Pouting is when you run your lip out about 3 foot and you sull up and you don't want nothing to do. But I'm talking about he's not pouting. He's a doubting. He's saying, God, is you really who you say you are? And if you are, I need to know. You say, preacher, why is that? He sent two of his disciples to go ask Jesus. Can I say to you this? I wrote it down. You should at least have two people in your life that can help you when the devil starts making you doubt. You ought to have two people at least in your life that can get a hold of Jesus when you're down and out, when you can't pray, when you don't know what to pray, when you don't know how to pray, and when you start doubting. Friends, I want you to know the old devil wants you to get down. He wants you to get doubting. He don't want you to believe. I say to you this morning that greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. Friends, I want you to know every Christian gets to a place in their life that they doubt. You say, preacher, it's been a long time since I've doubted God, everything must be going good in your life. You must be on the mountaintop. You must have got a raise. Your 401k must be doing good. Your car must not have been tore up. You must have everything working good at home. Friends, I'm telling you right now, there's times in my life that I doubt God. I say, God, are you sure that you've called me to preach? Are you sure that you've done this? There's even been times in my life that I've doubted my salvation. Hey, Lord, I don't even know if I'm saved. That's what I would say years ago. And you know what God would do? That sweet Holy Ghost of heaven, he'd come up beside me with angel wings and he'd breathe into my ear, Sister Patsy, you're mine and I'm yours. And I want you to know the old devil wants you to doubt, and you will doubt to the day you die. He sent two of his disciples. There have been many times in my life that I've doubted. People question God when they're down. People question God when they're doubting and when they're dying. I've seen that many a times. I've seen people question God and they get wanting to know what's going on, and they question God when they're down, they question God when they're doubting, and they question God when they think they're going to die. And they get close to the end, they start questioning God. They start questioning the oath they've made to God and how he has saved their life. John is fixing to have his head cut off. He's got to know that Jesus Christ is the one that should come. Can I say to you, even though he was down, even though he was doubting, now John is going to be defended by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't cut you. He doesn't scold you for doubting. You know what he did? He sent relief to John. He sent relief to where John is. Look with me in verse number 4. After Jesus heard it and he knew what was going on, look in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, them two men come and wanted to know, are you the one? Are you the one that can heal? Are you the one that can help? Or should we look somewhere else? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. I say to you this morning, as a Christian, you have to be reminded on a daily basis. He said, you go show John again, Brother Jay. That means it's done happened before. Go do it again. Go show him again. Go tell him again. Let him know that I'm the one. See, John done knew that. He done knew that he was the Son of God, but he had gotten his place that he was down and out. And he was doubting and he needed to hear again. Friends, can I say to you, you need to hear this morning that God is able, amen, that God is able. I want you to know that Jesus didn't scold John, but Jesus said, go show John. Let me show you what he showed him. He said, I want you to go show John those things which you do hear and see. Ooh. I want to give you this. He said, you go tell John about the miracles. We got a society today don't believe in miracles no more. They don't believe in healing. They don't believe in it at all. Folks, you listen to me this morning. God's a healing God. He's a healing God. This morning, I want you to know this. Here's what he said. He said, you go tell John about the miracles. You want to get a Christian that's down and out and doubting? You just go ahead and start telling him, yeah, there's no hope. You're at the end. You're gone, son. Sucker, you're dead. You won't be long. They'll be down and out. But I tell you what, you get a man of God to go up to that man and tell him, I don't know what all's going on in your life. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on, but you listen to me. There's a God in heaven that can. And he'll heal you. He'll help you. He can deliver you. And then you get men of God that'll stand up and say, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. I once was lame, but now I walk. Friends, listen to me. We've lost touch with God and what God can do. He said, I want you to go tell John about the miracles. He said there's six listed, and as he gives these six miracles, they get greater as they go. And they get greater as they go. God can do a miracle in your life. It'll just get gooder and gooder. Amen. Look at these six miracles. The blind received their sight. The blind. I once was blind, but now I see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. No longer do they have to stand out and holler, unclean, unclean. Now they can holler, I'm going home, I'm going home. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor, look how great this is, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I see that only John is down and he's doubting, but John is defended. Jesus said, go tell John about the miracles. Go tell John that I am the one. I am who he is supposed to be looking for. But not only did he tell them that, here's what he told. He told the multitude about John. Folks, you listen to me. God's bragging on you this morning. God is lifting you up. God is, man, I'm telling you what, if you're a child of God this morning, you might question him, but he ain't questioning you. Man, you might be saying, Lord, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what God's going to do. Folks, listen to me. Get your head out of the sand and get it up. We got a Savior that lives. Amen. We got a God that loves us. Has got our best interest in mind. And he's wanting to heal us and help us. You say, preacher, what did he tell the multitude? Look with me in verse number 7. And as they departed, Jesus said to the multitudes concerning John. He didn't talk down about John. He didn't beat on John. He didn't do none of that. All he done was bragged on John. Here's what he said. He said, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? He said, yeah, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Here's what he said. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Here's what he said about John. Even though John was doubting, even though John was down, even though John was desperate and he needed God to answer, here's what he said about John. He said, preacher, what did he say? Did he tear him down? No, he built him up. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there are not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was a prophet. He went before God expounding, saying that Jesus is coming. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But friends, you listen to me. You say the greatest prophet was Elijah. Oh no, he wasn't. A great prophet was Isaiah. Oh no, he wasn't. Not here. He said the greatest that there ever has been was John the Baptist. And if John the Baptist is going to doubt what God can do, you listen to me this morning, you and I are going to have doubt in our life. We're going to question God. You're going to get down. You're going to get down and out. You're going to get beat down. Hey, but get back up. 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 Don't let the devil win. Get up. Stand on your feet. Let God have his will in your life. Man, I'm telling you, I thank God for what he does, Brother Brent. I thank God. If you quit walking, you're defeated. If you quit walking, you're done, son. If you quit walking, you're defeated. If you ever lay down on your back, you're over with. Don't you lay down. You get up. And I don't care how down you get. I don't care how bad you doubt. God will defend you. You stand on them 2 feet, Eric Caruth. You stand on what God's called you to do. And you be a man of God. You man up and let God lead you. Man, I'm telling you what, I went to the doctor the other day. In January, I went to the doctor and I went in and I wore a little bit bigger shirt so she couldn't tell I'd gained some weight. Huh? Talk to me, somebody. And I went in and I sat down and she said, you've gained 17 pounds. I said, 17? She said, 17. I said, are you serious? She said, yeah. I said, I probably had on different shoes that day or something. She said, no. She said, and all your levels are out of whack. They're just, man, you're all over the place. High and low, you're just all over the place. And she said, it's what you're eating. And she said, in your notes it said you was walking. Are you still walking? And I said, well, can I explain to you what's going on? Really, it's got cold weather. And it's cold out there. And instead of walking, I've just been taking it easy. I just been, I deserve it. You know what I'm saying? I deserve to sit there on the couch on some days and just enjoy life and not push. I deserve that is what I'm thinking in my mind. And she said, you'd think that scar would motivate you. I thought, you smart aleck. But I need it. That's the only way I understand stuff. They know you when you walk in, how they need to talk to you when you walk in the building. They know. If you're from Detroit, they know they got to talk to you in a way that you understand it. She said, number one, you got to change your diet and get back on the diet that you're supposed to be on. Folks in here, listen to me. We got to change our diet around here. We got to change our diet around here. We can't let just any wave of doctrine come through this place. Anything that makes us feel good and makes us shout and makes us clap. We need to stand on the word of God and let God move in our lives. She said, you're going to have to change your diet and you're going to have to get back to walking. She said, if not, when you come back, we're going to have a little talk. We're going to put you on more medicine. Son, I walked out of there. Went over to Bulldog Burger, ate me a hamburger about as big as a hubcap with Brother Jerry Gabby. He was sitting over there, and my wife. He said, you didn't do nothing. She said, I wiped my mouth one last time, and I said, when I see her next time, it's on. Told Brandy, I said, order me a treadmill. What you done, preacher? I've cut back on what I was eating. I cut back on what I was doing, and I get up every morning, I get on that treadmill, and I get to walk in that thing like my life depends on it. You know what? This morning, when you start doubting God, it's because you quit walking with Him. John wasn't walking with Him. John was locked up. He couldn't walk with Him. He couldn't see the miracles. He couldn't see what was going on. He couldn't see how God was fixing to move, how God was moving, how God was healing people. And when you get in your pity party and you get down and out and you get doom and gloom and you think you're the only one there, you listen to me this morning. We got a God in heaven. He says, get back in that book. And get you back in that book. Get back walking with me. Get back talking with me. Get back doing what I've called you to do. You know what John did? John did exactly that. He kept on keeping on. You see what it cost him? His life. Following Jesus is going to cost every one of us our life one day. You listen to me this morning. You say, preacher, sometimes I question God. Why does good things happen to bad people? Why can't Christian people, good Christian people, I'm just going to tell you what I think. This ain't Bible, okay? Why ain't some of them sorry suckers out there doing everything under the sun, living like they want to, living it up, drinking, drugging, molesting kids? Why can't they get cancer? Why can't they get sick? Why can't they? Why does it always got to be the house of God? Why does these old thugs live to be 90 and 100 year old and they never have a problem in their life and they got everything going on and they're living off the government and they're doing what they want to do any way they want to do it and you never see pain or destruction or anything coming to their life? That's what I ask God sometimes. I say, God, why does good people die? Why does good people get sick? Why does good people hurt? Why, God? Why, God? Why, God? He said, it's not for you to know. It's just for you to follow me. Folks, I'm telling you, my mind might be warped. It might be, I don't know, but I question Him on some things. Lord, why? Why? Why can somebody get in a little bit of trouble and they get 25 years? You let a man molest a kid and he gets out on probation with an ankle bracelet around him and he gets to go to daycares and teach. That ain't right, folks. Listen to me. You say, why do you question God on that? Because I'm human. But let me tell you somebody else that questioned God. In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, He said, Eli, Eli, sabachthani. That's what He said. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. You know what that means? My God, why? Well, now, you ain't supposed to question God. Why did Jesus question God? Because He was in human flesh, hanging on the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt like God's forsaken you? Have you ever felt like, I know y'all two have, sitting there with them two beautiful babies. When I was preparing this, I was thinking about y'all two. Man, I know, I don't know nothing you're going through. I've never been there. I've never experienced what y'all two experienced. I don't have a clue. But man, I'm telling you, I've been on the phone with that young man, him crying. He said, preacher, we've lost another one. Preacher, we've miscarried another one. Man, broken down in his spirit. Sister broke, both of them broke. You say, preacher, what'd they do? Get mad at God and quit? I'm sure there's been times they've questioned them, but they ain't quit. They're sticking with the stuff. They're still here. They're still here. You couldn't run them off. They're still here. Why? Because they know there's a God in heaven. They know there's a God that promised that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Man, when I was writing this sermon, I thought about Rod Gillen and I thought about what he's going through. And God, why? Why? I can tell you what it'll do. But Paul, I thought about Larry Jeffries. Thought about Larry during COVID. Me, him, and Miss Beth was over there at Amory at the hospital together. Sitting there in the clinic, both of us sitting there. Both of us had COVID. We know what we had. We was sick as a dog. Sick. We was cutting up. Last thing I said to Larry Jeffries was we was cutting up. We're just cutting up, having a good time. I don't know why I got to go home here and he got to go home over yonder. Paul, I don't know. I question that all the time, stuff like that. Why, preacher? Why does it happen? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. But I do know this. I'm talking to a group of people right now. You need to know, just because you're down and just because you doubt sometimes and you've got questions that can't be answered, and you'll never know to the by and by. And then you may not even know over there. He may not let us know over there. But I can tell you what he does. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's what Jesus said. You know why God forsook Jesus? Because every one of you, me, and the whole world An almighty God could not look on sin. We're fixing to have Easter. An almighty God could not look on sin. He's holy. He can't look on sin. Preacher, what did he have to do? He had to turn his back on his son. The Bible said that the earth went dark. It went dark. He turned his back on his beloved. He turned his back on Jesus. So one day, he can turn his face toward us. He turned his back on Jesus so that he could turn his face toward us. Brother Austin, he still can't look on me until I got born again, saved. Now when he looks at Brother BJ, you know what he looks? He looks through the blood of Jesus Christ. When he looks down and he looks at me, he looks through the blood. If it wasn't for the blood, he couldn't look upon me, because I'm a filthy sinner, undone and no good. But by the blood of Jesus, I have a home in heaven. Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're in here today and there's things happening in your life that's hurt and it's hurting. Tell you a story that I heard, and we're going to have time of altar call. Said this little boy was about 14, 15 year old, and he was just acting any which way. Mommy, a writer now. He told his mama the other day, he said, "Mama, you know I love you, don't you?" She said, "I know you love me." He said, "Do you know what love means, Mama?" She said, "What does it mean, Ryder?" He said, "It means I'd do anything for you." That's what he told her. He said, "Love means I'd do anything for you, Mama." She said, "Who told you that?" He said, "My daddy did." He said, "Little boy." Folks, I'm telling you, I don't know sometimes, but. Said, "Little boy, wouldn't be in Have," and his daddy said, told his the mama, said, "Here's the only way we can handle this. Every time a little boy comes home and he's in trouble, we're just going to send him out to the woodshed. We've whooped him. We've done all we can do. We're just going to send him out to the woodshed with a hammer and some nails. And every time he messes up, we're going to let him drive a nail into that door, the back of the door, the wood door." Said he beat that door. Said he come back and he told his daddy, he said, "The door's full of nails. I don't have a nail left." Daddy doubted it even worked. He said, "Now go back. Take every one of them nails out every time you do something right and you do something good. And take them back out, son." He said, "I carry you to church all the time. You need to know this." The boy said, "Okay, Daddy." Went back, started pulling the nails out, brother. Hagen. Said he got down to the last nail. He reached up there and jerked that nail out. Said he come back home, the daddy thought, "Yeah, he ain't gonna have no more questions. He's gonna be good. He's got his answer." And he come back with tears streaming down his face, and his daddy said, "What's wrong?" "Daddy, all the nails are gone. There's no more in the door." He said, "That's good. You've been doing good." He said, "Yeah, but just look at all the holes it left." I wonder who I'm talking to this morning. When you doubt God and God does show up, and you doubt God and you say, "God, I don't really know if you're going to answer or not." Sister Cynthia, you say, "I don't really know." And then he does show up, and you have to get that old humble, move that out. Oh, the hole that it leaves. Oh, the hole that it leaves when we doubt what God can do. Oh, the holes that it leaves when we doubt what God can do. I wonder who this morning says, "Preacher, I've just been doubting so much. I've been questioning God on every move that I make. What do I need to do?" Y'all all look like y'all are doing fine. Good looking group. Oh, y'all good looking group. They might be one. They might be one that's down. I'm talking about, son, you in the gutter. Y'all know what a gutter is? That's a hole. You might be down. You might be doubting what God can even do. And God's sitting there, even though all hell's coming against you, God's sitting there. And he's got angels encamped around you, protecting you. They're keeping the evil one away. And you're doubting as he's doing, even doing anything. And all he's doing is protecting you and defending you. And he said, "Brother BJ, you go tell them. You go tell them this morning that you've seen the blind receive their sight. Brother BJ, you go tell them you've seen the deaf able to hear.
Brother BJ, you go tell them. You go tell them. You go tell them. You go tell them that you've seen the broken heart healed. You go tell them that you've seen those that's had spots, that's had leprosy, that's had cancer healed. You go tell them. Somebody needs to know that we still got a God on the throne. Quit doubting him. And start encouraging others what he can do. But the last thing he said, you go tell them that the poor is still receiving the gospel, son. And the greatest miracle there is when a lost person gets saved. They're still having the gospel preached to them. And I want you to know this morning as your pastor, if you're questioning God, get on the board, man. Get on the bandwagon. That's what I do too sometimes. But I got good news. You don't have to stay there. He'll help you through it. Let us pray. Father, I pray right now for the ones that are down, the ones that are doubting. Lord, I'm asking you right now. Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Okay? Father, I'm just going to talk to you like I talk to you at home. Father, I don't know. I don't have a clue. All I know is I follow you and I love you. I believe your book 100%. I believe everything it says. I believe when Jonah got swallowed by the whale, I believe it. I believe it from front to back. Lord, I believe you're going to heal in this room. Lord, I believe you can save. Lord, I believe there's not nothing that you can't do when a person gets honest and they come to you, no matter how down they are, no matter how much they doubt, you will defend them in the name of Jesus. All we have to do is come to you. When John sent wanting to know what you was about and what you was doing, you sent back the exact answer. Lord, when Nicodemus went to you, you told him, marvel not that a man must be born again. I'm asking you this morning for the one that's hurting, please don't let them walk back out. And they may be financial struggles in this building I don't have a clue of. They may be people right now in this building that has doctor's reports that nobody knows anything about. Lord, you know. Lord, they've come to this house today to hear a true word, a real word. And Lord, all the thing I can tell them is that you're on the throne. And there ain't nothing that you can't do. Lord, if they're doubting you this morning, the best place to be is an altar. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you bless. That one that's brokenhearted, that you heal them. That one that has cancer, you heal them. Cleanse them. Make them new. Father, the reason we begin to doubt is because we see people that don't believe. And I believe you this morning. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said,